Thank you. I know it's a very old song, but a very lovely one. And I've been listening to Ian Andrews, and he talks about it almost every Thursday, about the touch of Jesus. I want to ask the first question. Does God's joy, we've just been singing about, flood your soul? Is that where we are? Is that place where we are? Or another question, are you ready for a new and a fresh touch of Jesus in your life? Over the last couple of weeks, in fact, probably months prior to the current lockdown, I've had lots of conversations with different people, and some people have had a very good experience during the lockdown. Some people have found it productive, been blessed by the Lord, feel that they're pressing into him, etc., etc. But then there are also, and I was especially almost amazed at the number of Christians in these conversations who've expressed frustration and saying, I wish we didn't have to go through this, and why doesn't God do this and do that and the next thing. Others have also been very disappointed by the turn of events, expected God to whip in and solve the problem. Some have been experiencing great anxiety. And I think Hazel was alluding to that earlier, the situations in which we find ourselves. Are we just being careful, or are we anxious when we go out and do things? Do we feel like a victim, perhaps? Others have experienced trauma. And you will remember I alluded to that many times ago, how I felt at the beginning of lockdown. But the good news is that Jesus has a solution to every one of these feelings. And I want us to take a journey with the writers of Psalm 42. If you've got your Bibles there, if we could just have a look at that, Psalm 42. It's been described by some as an honest prayer from a discouraged saint. And it is that particular aspect that I want to look at today. There is so much in this psalm that is so human. And the background, you can see the psalm is written by the sons of Korah. Now, I don't know whether it was one son and the other one sort of proofread it or added to it. But anyway, we'll go with the psalmist. And they had come out of quite a difficult situation where their father had been killed by the king because of his rebellion. But they then became some of the chief musicians in the temple in Jerusalem, and were apparently very much loved and very much into the music. And then when the catastrophe happened with Absalom coming to attack David, they fled with David to a place up on the borders of between Lebanon and Syria, to where they think the source of the Jordan is. And that was where they took refuge. And as I was reading it some weeks ago, I thought, this is a funny kind of lockdown. This is a different kind of lockdown. You're cut off from what is normal. You're cut off from your place of work. You're cut off from your place of worship. A different situation, but a human response. So let's just read the first couple of verses. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Now, I want you to just stop and think of the picture of this poor little deer, absolutely desperately thirsty. Could have been a dry land, could have been chased by some other kind of creature, longing for this drink. And my question is that how we feel about God? Do we long for him? to be part of our lives? Does our soul pant for him, that he will be the living water to us? Is there a sense of desperation in what the psalmist is saying here? He's focusing on God as his solution. But at the same time, he said, I've been crying night and day. Have we been doing that? Have we emerged from that? And on top of that, if you look at the end of verse 3, they are now being mocked by the enemy. Now, I don't know whether the enemy were people who were living there or people who'd gone with them. Ah, your God is supposed to solve the problem. And look, here you are still locked far away from Jerusalem. When's he going to intervene? You can just hear the scorn. Possibly some people have experienced that right now, with non-Christians looking at us. Are they saying the same thing? Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Now, he clearly is desperately missing the music and everything else that they did in the temple. And he's thinking about the wonderful time that they had in the past, the feasts that they used to come. And then in verse 5, the painful memories bring further discouragement. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? He's talking to himself and he's asking why he is responding with this sadness, with these tears, being cast down, sorrow. Why am I doing all of this? And he answers himself, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Now, is that not the situation in which we should be? Where we look beyond the situation where we are. We look beyond the lockdown. We look beyond the trauma, the difficulties, the challenges, whatever it is. And despite all of that, we take our eyes off the circumstances and we look to God for the help of his countenance. Oh dear, but then we go back to verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan. So here he seems to sink again. So it's almost like a rise and fall. This is the problem. Why aren't you doing something? Oh, the hope in God. Oh dear, now I'm back again. And from the heights of Hermon and the hill of Mizar. Those are some of the places, of course, where they were to be found. But in the midst of that, possibly he's wandering around in this sort of rocky place. We would assume that he has perhaps seen a waterfall. Now, some of you have witnessed that and this sort of charge of water coming down, plunging into the pool at the bottom. And for him, it is a representation of something very deep, maybe the deep pool. Is it his deep emotional experience of, Lord, I'm not coping. This isn't me. It's really terrible. I don't belong here. I need to be back in Jerusalem. Or is it an emotional thing? Is it a physical thing or is it emotional? Or perhaps both. And perhaps that's why he says, deep calls to deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. I'm completely consumed with the sadness and the situation in which I find myself. But perhaps he's just calling out to the depth of God's love. Lord, you understand me. You know me. You are within me. Because he goes on to say, and in the night, his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So he's not saying God has deserted him, but he's asking for his presence. He picks himself up and he says, I will say to God, my rock. So immediately you see something that is foundational, something that is strong, something that he can depend on. But then in the next breath, why have you forgotten me? So this poor man is in such confusion. He's got what he knows is his relationship with God, but the human side constantly he is battling with. And then the enemies come and they reproach him. And so we have a repetition of the same thing. And finally, in verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? So again, he's talking to himself. Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. So he's got the answer. So he has to keep telling himself the same thing to reassure him that he still chooses to praise God through the difficulties. Now, do any of these emotions or these experiences of the psalmist resonate with you in any way? Where we come to God and we say, oh, Lord, why don't you do this? And then we say, okay, Lord, yes, I know, I trust you. I know you're in charge, da, 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 da. And the next day, oh, Lord, and we're back again to this. I thought this is such a human experience. And I just laughed as we went through this. But we have to come to the place where we realize that God is there no matter what. We've got to concentrate on the final line, the hope that we have in God. Sometimes as Christians, we feel as though we shouldn't have any of these negative or unbiblical responses to the situation. We can't get the side down. We've got to have it all together because as Christians, you know, we've got to rise above the circumstances. And yes, in a way, that's true. And last week, Rosemary and Phil were commenting about that we don't live under the circumstances, and that's absolutely true. But at the same time, we can't deny our humanity and the variety of different responses to our challenges, our situations, our emotions, our makeup, all of it is completely different. But acknowledging the unbiblical response for me is often the beginning of the change and the beginning of healing. You have to be honest with yourself. I think, for example, that somebody that I spoke to once who was going to AA said, you have to admit you're an alcoholic before you can be healed. You've got to confess it. So here we say, Lord, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but please, let's begin the change. Apart from sharing our thoughts and our frustrations and emotions with God, it sometimes helps to share with a friend. Now, Tamsin's just given us an example of how she was with her mum. And Iola confirmed that, how we need to be relating and supporting others. And maybe that's what we need. And we hear so much today about we must get talking to other people to help each other. There's the TV ad, Britain, get talking, on ITV, I think it is. And I'm sure you've heard the phrases, sharing is caring, and a burden shared is a burden halved. Healing can't take place. This is what Christy Wimber writes. Without truth, and truth does not come out if we feel we don't have safe spaces in which to be truthful. The more we share, the more healing can take place, the more we find freedom. One of the greatest gifts we can give each other is the truth about where we are at and the reality of our struggles. People don't identify with our strengths, but with our humanity. And the greatest story we have is how God is with us and we continue to say yes to him, even in our broken state. I think that's a comment that actually is worth pondering on. And as we face the daily challenges, whatever they may be, I've recently been talking to a lady who has to walk with two crutches and her knee is in a brace. Now, that is some kind of a situation to have to face and cope with on your own. But as we face the challenges, Jesus says to us in Matthew 11, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So we don't have to be striving to attain this place. We just need to yield. In fact, we need to be yoked. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. This means we don't have to rely just upon ourselves looking at the situation. We have to Jesus to lean on. And there's an echo of this in Jeremiah 31, where after the people had returned, Jeremiah is talking about the blessed pronouncing a blessing over Jerusalem and how the difficulties that they've been looking at and how things are going to be different. And he says, God says, "For I have satiated the weary soul and I have replenished every sorrowful soul." God has the capacity to change, and he is able if we are willing. Peace is then restored and we're in the right relationship with him again. His intervention goes to the root, to that deep that the psalmist was talking about, to the core of our being. And we just need that touch from Jesus to eradicate it. And then, I'm sorry, I've got a very feeble drawing here. We need to get it in. I hope you can see that there's a lamb there. And the lamb over here, over there. And immediately I thought of Psalm 23, that the Lord is our shepherd. He takes us beside the green pastures and the still waters and goes on to restore our soul. Now, if you think of that, I think that's such a fantastic image. There's the kind of contentment, the peace. Everything that we need is in Jesus. And there he begins to restore whatever is wrong with the soul. He's provided for our needs. He's given us a way to solve our anxiety and our desperation. And I just love this contentment that you can see in the picture. The Hebrew word for rest is nuach, which means cessation, and has been described as the harmonious working of all our faculties of will, heart, imagination, and conscience. Well, that, of course, is what the soul is, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And all of it needs to be in line with God and his plan for us. Last week, Rosemary touched on, and I thought it was such a good introduction to the harmony of the body, soul, and spirit. Whereas I'm looking specifically at the mind, the will, and the emotion, the soul. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome and move forward and deepen our dependence on him by allowing us to direct our lives. Now, one of the answers is found in Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that word, wait, actually means be entwined in. So if you can sort of see yourself all wrapped up, we are entwined in with what we were singing about earlier, the Lion of Judah, the Almighty, the Creator. And that is the key to the problem, any problem, as we wait entwined in with God. It is hoping with a kind of confident expectation and trust that he is at work. We are strengthened. We are given the impetus to move forward. He will give us the strength to fly, to run, to walk, whatever is needed for this time and for the future. We have the key to transform difficult situations and difficult emotions. And we can only benefit by waiting, entwining ourselves in him, allowing the Holy Spirit to restore, renew, and refresh us. And as we do this, we enter into his rest for our souls and reach a place of contentment with the situation where we are in him. And Graham has another song for us. And if you can, make this your prayer.
Spirit and in truth. Let's sing it again.
I'm reaching.
Thank you. I'd like to end with the verse that Rosemary started with last week, and that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Amen.